This is when Paul was on his way to Damascus, and the Lord intercepted him, and he's given his testimony to King Agrippa of what happened that day when he fell off the horse, and the Lord appeared to him. But it's very interesting what the Lord said to him. And I want to pick this up in verse 14 of Acts 26. When we were all fallen to the earth, because there were others there with him, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you persecutest. And verse 16, notice what he says to him. He says, Rise, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared to thee. I have appeared to thee for what? This purpose. I have appeared for this purpose. Why did he appear for him? For this purpose, right? To make thee a minister and a witness, both of the things which thou hast seen today, and in those things in which I will appear unto thee. So he's telling him, I'm going to appear unto you again. And he goes, you're going to be a witness of what you've seen today. You can say, eyewitness. This is going to be fully restored, by the way, in the last days, is the what we call the corporate eyewitness. You are to listen to that series we have. It's pretty in-depth. It goes from Genesis to Revelation concerning the eyewitness testimony. Most every great, great man of God, all the apostles of the New Testament, all were given eyewitness testimony. And all that will be fully restored as the apostolic office is fully restored. Because eyewitness testimony is the highest level of testimony given to man. There is no greater testimony than eyewitness testimony. The whole church was born out of eyewitness testimony. The church will leave with eyewitness testimony. And there will be eyewitness testimony in the tribulation day. In the tribulation, the 7-year tribulation, there'll be two witnesses, eyewitnesses, and there'll be 144,000 eyewitnesses. I'm not talking about eyewitnesses today, but I'm just talking about he appeared to him for this purpose. Notice what he says. He says, the scene which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee, verse 17, from the people and from the Gentiles whom I will now send to you. I will send you to the Gentiles. And now here is his message. He says, I appeared unto thee for this purpose, to be a minister and a witness of what you've seen, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light. This is his commission. The Lord's commissioning him. How'd you like to get born again and commissioned all in one day? I mean, Paul was born again and commissioned all in the same day by the Lord. That's pretty amazing. To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. That here's his messages right here. There's two messages here. They may receive forgiveness of sin. Say that's for the lost. Forgiveness of sin, turning them from the power of Satan unto God, translated out of darkness into his light. That's the only message the lost can hear. The only message they can hear is the cross. The only message you'll ever be able to hear, the lost will be able to hear, turning them from darkness to light. They cannot hear what you hear. They cannot understand what you understand because their eyes have been blinded until their spirit's been made light. They're never going to understand the revelations of God's word. So when you go to the lost, you preach the cross. Amen. It's the cross to the lost. But then when you're saved, God never designed the cross to be preached to us all our life. We have to move on. The cross is the pivotal point of all the lost coming into the kingdom of God. Amen. We forever have our foundation with the cross, but we have to go to the next level through the cross. Say through the cross, through the cross. Amen. Through the cross. Now, what did he say to them? They may receive forgiveness of sin. And here's what you're going to preach. Here's what you can preach. And an inheritance, say inheritance, among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So once they're saved, they're sanctified by faith in me. Then you what? You preach inheritance. Say inheritance. Inheritance. I was a sinner saved by grace. I'm now a son, an heir, and a joint heir. So we have to come to the place where we're taught inheritance. Amen. That's what we teach here, inheritance. Say inheritance. Look at your name, say inheritance. inheritance to those that are sanctified. If you're listening and you can hear the word of inheritance, you're in a good place. Because that means you're sanctified. That means you're an heir. That means you're a son. That means you're a son and an heir, amen? And to really understand and walk in inheritance, you first have to be a son, amen? Got to be loved by the Father, amen? Find your identity in the Father. There's still a lot of people trying to find their identity in what they do. Can't find identity in what you do. You got to find identity in who you are as a son. Once you've been loved, once he restructures your foundation, once he takes the dysfunction out and puts his love in there. That's why he said being rooted and grounded in love. Your soul, your heart must be rooted and grounded in love. Then we move on from sonship into what? Joint heirship with Christ. Inheritance and joint heirship. Amen. Say inheritance. That's where the church is right now as a whole. They're moving now from sonship. Now, I remember in the early days we were teaching sonship a lot. Now we're teaching joint heirship. Why? Because he's getting ready to release the inheritance. And the inheritance to his church of this last day will be a full age church. Amen. He's got a lot of work to do with all of us. Say all of us. So he said, Paul, I've appeared to you to be a witness of what you've seen today. You're going to bear eyewitness testimony that you have seen me and that I had commissioned you to preach the cross to the lost, basically is what he said, and inheritance to those that are sanctified. You'll preach inheritance, Paul. Amen? So we're in good place because we're what? Preaching inheritance. Now, we've been in this flow lately of the seven inheritances found in Revelation chapter 5 with a lamb. John saw him, and he was a lamb that's slain. He stood as a lamb that's slain. He saw seven eyes and seven horns upon him. He said, these are the seven spirits of God that are going to be sent forth into all the earth. John saw this as something to come. And then 4 verses later, it said, worthy is the lamb to have received what? Power. Come on. Riches are wealth. That's more than just riches. It's wealth. The word there is wealth. Wealth, power, wealth, wisdom, honor, glory, and blessing. See, you can be blessed but not be wealthy. Amen? But God is going to give true wealth in the last hour to his church, prophesied over and over again. But he's also going to give dunamis to his church. Listen, he's entrusting a church age with us. He is entrusting a lot to the greatest forces in the entire Bible is dunamis, power, and wealth. And he's given them both to his church in the last hour. But he's also, and I said, why did you put wisdom third when wisdom should be principal? Because a lot of people ask me, why did the Lord give you all this revelation? My first answer would be grace. Say grace. Say grace. Say it again, grace. But I said, because we asked for it. Because we spent a good part, I spent a good part of my first 10 years, the preparation before I went into ministry, asking for wisdom. We built a book, a confessional manual on wisdom called Framing Your World that dealt with the seven pillars of wisdom. We were all over wisdom. We were all over Proverbs chapter 7, 8, and 9. I read the book of Proverbs a lot, 100 times, and I'd read it again 100 times, and 100 times again, and 100 times. We were all over until it started unfolding that there was actually more than just words of wisdom in there. There was a person of wisdom in there. And until you understand the person of wisdom, you can't really understand wisdom. He said, but wisdom is the principal thing. Guard it. Let her not go. And she's described as a her there. We get into all that in another teaching, but I can't do it today. But I said, now, if wisdom's the principal thing, then why would wisdom first? Why was power? Dunamis. Say dunamis. What's the first thing God gave to his church? Dunamis. That's the first thing the Holy Ghost came down with was what? Dunamis. Say dunamis, dunamis, dunamis. That's the building blocks of all things, the spiritual substance by which God does anything and everything. Dunamis will be present. Amen? Power and wealth, but then wisdom was there because it was the one that undergirded those two. Amen? So really, wisdom was listed third because it was the foundation of those two power operations of wealth and power. Wisdom was there. Wisdom must be present. when God releases what he's going to release, wisdom must be present. Amen. And it's more than just wisdom. It's the person of wisdom. It's the omniscience of wisdom. It's the seven eyes of wisdom. It's the seven spirits of God. It's the worthy as a lamb. It says, Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon you. What? Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon you. Wisdom and understanding, counsel and might, spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. This is a whole operation of omniscience. Have to have it. Amen. Look at your neighbor and said, you have to have it. Look at your other neighbor and say, get some of it. Amen. Y'all point your hands at me and say, Father, bless him with more wisdom, with more grace. Say grace, grace, and more grace. Hey, look, we need a lot of grace in what we do. Praise God. We need a lot of grace in what we do here. Amen. Listen, when you carry mysteries, the enemy will fight that like crazy. I heard Kenneth Copeland talking the other day. And he said, listen, those who carry revelation will be fought harder than anybody else. He says, two people the enemy will fight. Those that are wealthy for the kingdom, not wealthy for the world. There are a lot of Christians that are wealthy, but it never translates to the kingdom. There's always, I'm talking about wealth towards the kingdom. Those that are wealthy to the kingdom, he'll fight that. And he'll fight those who have revelation. So he said, he goes, they'll fight them hard. You have to learn to stand against the wiles of the enemy. Amen. Glory to God. Let your neighbor say glory to God. So we're talking about the seven inheritances, and Father swore that he would grant these. Now, we talked about keeping his word. He said the word, and I get a lot of you kids still ask me, how do you keep the word? I said, well, here's the principles of keeping the word. It's got to be in your heart. Say in the heart. Listen, you can memorize the word all day long in your mind. That's a good thing. It's always good to know the word, but that's not keeping the word. Knowing the word in the mind is different than keeping the word in the heart. If you want it to release, it's God, you have to keep it in the heart. Amen? There's going to have to be two or three things present there when keeping the word in the heart. I'll go there, and then I want you to, two places I'm going to take you today. James 1, and I'm going to take you to... Oh, the Holy Ghost is going to take us to, I want to just revisit this for a minute, Philemon. Philemon chapter 1. Philemon 1 verse 6. The communication, say the communication of your faith may become effective. See, faith is going to communicate. You must know that. If your faith is not communicating with your mouth, then it's not communicating. There's no such thing... It's faith without words. Amen. So faith must communicate, become affected by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Christ. Now see, these seven inheritance we've been talking about are in Christ because he's already received them. So it's already done. Amen. Look at your neighbor, say it's done. And Christ hold those inheritances in his name. In his name. That's why when you pray, pray in his name. Why? Because everything's in his name. He said, all that the Father has is mine. So the Father's already given it to the Lord. The Lord's already inherited. The Father's already fulfilled his oath, which he swore to his Son in blessing. I will bless thee and multiplying. I'll multiply. It's already there. It's in his name and he's in you. So the inheritance is in you. So the acknowledging of every good thing that's in you, as you keep the word, you have to hold that word. You have to understand. Now here's what Mark 4, Matthew 13, and Luke 8 says. If you put them all together, they say, he that heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it, that's one. He that heareth the word of the kingdom and receives it, that's two. He that heareth the word of the kingdom and what? Keeps it. That's three. So you have to hear it. You have to understand it. Word of the kingdom. Say word of the kingdom. You have to hear. You have to understand. You have to receive. Say receive. If you don't receive it in the heart, these words are sown in the heart. They have to be understood. And they're sown. They're understood by the light, by revelation. They're understood. So you hear, you receive, you understand, and then what? You keep in the heart. These words will be in your heart. These words will be in your mouth. Now, this sounds real easy to do, But you don't understand that there's a whole spiritual government of darkness out there that'll try to steal that word. That'll try to, at least if they can't steal it, they'll try to distract you from ever doing this. Because the doing of it, say the doing, is where it's going to release. You have to hold it and keep it, and you have to continue to keep it. Say continuing. So the communication of faith becomes affected by the acknowledging of every good thing in you in Christ. So we know he's all over these seven inheritances. We hold these. We acknowledge by how? By word. And we acknowledge by what? Focus. If I acknowledge you, I have to speak to you. I have to look at you. I have to give you my attention. Amen. I can't acknowledge you with my back toward, turned towards you. That's acknowledging. Acknowledging is words and attention. So be attentive to my words. Focus, a focus. It's a focused position that locks you in. The communication of your faith becomes effective. See, you got to hold it till you feel the shift. That's when it starts happening, when you feel the shift. If you don't learn to focus, what will happen is you're trying to hold his word. You're trying to keep his word. And all of a sudden your mind floats out. It floats out into today. It floats out into something you got to do. What you're doing, it's floating out. It might be the to-do list, might be work, might be employment. You know, whatever, it's trying to move you out. Sometimes that's just your natural reasoning to the way your mind works, natural. But sometimes there are spiritual entities that are forcing distraction upon your life. They're trying to distract. They're thieves. He goes, I am the door. If by any man entereth in, he'll be saved. He'll go in and out and find pasture. But the thief cometh to steal, kill, and destroy. Why do you put the thief scripture when he's talking about a door? Because they are the ones trying to destroy, kill, steal, and destroy your access. Amen? To the pasture. And they're good at what they do. You got to understand how to get through. Your faith, it's focused faith that'll get through. Amen? But once you learn how to do it, once you learn how that focused faith works, then what happens is you can move in, you'll feel that shift, and things begin to flow. Amen? So there's acknowledgement, focus, words, and you have to speak. A lot of times is a big key. People stop speaking. They float off, and they just stop speaking. So it's the focused on that word that's in your heart. You focus in, and you speak. Amen? When you do, it releases. It starts tuning you into the frequency and things start happening. Amen? Now, with that, I want to go to James. I haven't been here in a long time, but I love this verse right here. The Lord gave me this very, very early in the ministry, this particular revelation. And I'm going to share it with you today. James 1, verse 22. Amen. Praise God. So we hear the word of the kingdom. We receive the word of the kingdom. We understand the word of the kingdom. Really, it's hear, understand, receive, and then we keep the word of the kingdom. And he that keepeth these words, verily the love of the Father will be perfected in you. You keep these words. And that's when he said he'll bring forth fruit 30, 60, 100-fold. Amen? Everyone say 100-fold. 100-fold. I like to hear that. Say 100-fold. Put your hand in your heart and say, 100-fold. I am 100-fold. I'm 100-folder. I am. I set my compass to the 100-fold. Amen. By keeping these words, we learn to go through the door. By keeping the words, we learn to go to the throne of grace. By keeping the word, we learn to go into the garden of rest. By keeping the word, we learn to go into the garden of the lilies, which is phenomenal. By keeping his word, we learn to go into the Father's love. I'm talking about top of the mountain love stuff. Amen. A whole year almost. Glory to God. By keeping his word, we're going to receive the seven inheritances for the last day church. Amen. Amen. By keeping his word, we're going to receive the crown that belongs to the Church of Philadelphia. By keeping his word, we're becoming a what? Doer of the word. Amen. Now he's going to describe being a doer. Now we're talking about, now don't go in there and start thinking I'm going to go do a bunch of do and things, do's and don'ts. That's not what I'm talking about. There are instructions that come with the Bible The Bible instructs us on how to live and how to do things, but that's not really what we're talking about. We're talking about keeping the word of the kingdom, the word of inheritance. Amen? Now watch what he says here in James 1. Let's see what his definition of keeping the word means. Amen. Actually, he talks about doing here, but he has a different definition than we have. So let's get God's definition. So let's look at verse 22, chapter 1. It says, but be you doers, say doers, of the word. Now, this is why you can't just go read this scripture and then take off. You have to read everything he says here, not just one scripture. Because if I be a doer of the word and hear only, I deceive my own self, so I got to go do something. That's not what he's saying here. You got to describe exactly what he's talking about here. And the next three verses is going to describe exactly what he's talking about here. Now, I meditated these verses for about 25-something hours in the early days to get this particular revelation. I don't have to work as hard as I used to, praise the Lord. I just sit back in my chair and it comes. But in the early days, I had to work for this stuff. Amen? Like when we extracted the whole book of Hebrews, that took me 55 hours. But anyway, it just went over and over again. And I remember, yeah, it was Romans because I remember I got a 16-chapter download. Bam! I remember that last day I was rolling over and over again. I was reading through the whole book. I wasn't trying to get anything, read through the whole book. I'd sit there all night long, just read through it. I didn't understand it, read through it, and all of a sudden, 16 chapters went shoo. That was one of the bigger downloads I've ever had. I mean, only God can download 16 chapters. He downloads it into your spirit, see? And explodes. It might take you a year to teach, but you understood it all in 5 minutes. Because your spirit lives in that capacity with God. It lives in the God realm. Amen? Because when you were recreated, a new creation, your spirit has a capacity to understand spiritual things in very large ways. And the Holy Ghost likes to download into your spirit. And what happens is that's the way it was actually designed, by the way. Is to receive revelation, not from the mind to the spirit. He wants to teach your spirit, and then your spirit will then enlighten the mind. Amen? If you'll do it that way, you'll get it right. But if you try to go from the mind into your spirit, then your mind's trying to decipher the words that are supposed to be spiritually discerned. Amen? He didn't say intellectually discerned. He said spiritually discerned. He said, my words are spirit in their life. They've got to be spiritually discerned, not intellectually discerned. If you go and approach by intellect, I heard a guy say the other day, I read the whole Bible. He goes, I know a whole lot about the Bible because I already read the whole Bible. I'm like, woohoo. You read the whole Bible. Do you have any idea the depths of each word in that Bible? They can go 7, 10, 15 layers deep. Just one revelation can go down into depths, unfathomable depths. Amen? Glory to God. So we meditate with the Holy Spirit. He is our partner. He is here to help us. He is here. He receive of mine. He'll show it to you. Amen? He's going to show it. Say, show it. Show it. You do well before you start trying to extract revelation. Invite the Holy Spirit to accompany you, because he will teach you the Bible like nobody will teach you the Bible. Amen? He's really good at teaching the Bible. He's been sent to teach the Bible. He's the one taught us all these things, because nobody in here is that smart. I can tell you right now. I tell people all the time when they go to the website, I say, look, I am not that smart. There's some really good stuff on there, but I got most of that freely. Of course, we did pray 12, 15 hours in tongues. We prayed a lot of those revelations out in the early days, and then God unloaded it all. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, back to this message. Amen. We give you honor, Holy Spirit. We thank you. Nobody in here is that smart. I know who I am. I know who you are. I know where all this comes from. I'm thankful that you entrusted this to us, that we're stewards of these mysteries. We know they come from you, from the Lord, from the Father. Amen. James, are we James 1? So be doer of the word. Now we're meditating here. So if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, that's what he says. He's like a man, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a mirror. The word glass means mirror. He behold himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. There's a lot there. Amen. It's a good thing I have the next 3 hours to extract all this for you. Praise God. So I remember as I was meditating this, I didn't understand. I'm like, okay, you said first doer of the work, but what's that have to do with hearing? And then I'm looking and I'm going my way. And I mean, I'm like you when I first read that. I didn't have a clue what that was saying. So I just kept reading and meditating. I'd walk the floor and pray in tongues and pray in tongues and pray in tongues. And I'll show you how the Holy Ghost teaches here. So I was like, any man be a hearer of the word, not a doer. And I kept hearing the Lord said, that is not what you think it is. He kept saying, that is not what you think it is. And I'm like, well, what is it? What is it? And I kept at it, kept at it. He said, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a mirror. He behold himself and goes his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. I'm like, what does this mean? I kept going, natural face in a mirror. And I was honing in on that natural face in a mirror. And I kept going back and forth. Is that lightning or kids? Kids. Lightning in a bottle up there. Praise God. So natural face. Natural face. Natural face. Natural face. And all of a sudden, I hear the Holy Spirit says, look that word up. So I go look up the word natural and it means nativity. I'm like, well, that helped a lot. I'm like, so this is how I did. I just kept walking because I knew there was something in there. I knew he was trying to teach me how to keep the word even way back then when I didn't even understand what it meant. So nativity. So he's beholding his nativity face in the mirror. I'm like, that doesn't even make sense, Lord. Behold my nativity face in the mirror. What does this mean? My nativity face in the mirror. And all of a sudden, I see little baby Jesus there in the nativity scene. I'm seeing this vision of the Jesus nativity face, and I'm looking at this nativity scene. I'm holding the nativity scene, and all of a sudden it hit. And when it hit, I'm like, oh, I finally understood. He said, he, you ready for this? Let's read this. Ready? He says, if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man that beholds his nativity face in a mirror, his birth of Christ face. Say, birth of Christ face. See, he beholds in the mirror. I need a Bible for this. Here, let me see this. This iPad's just not. He beholds, see, right here, you don't know who you are until you find who you are in these pages. And it's not finding them with your mind. You find who you are in the pages of Revelation as the Holy Spirit will take you into the depths of these words and he'll show you who you are. In your birth of Christ's face, who you are is in these pages. And the Holy Spirit has to take you in there. And he says, a natural man beholding himself as in a mirror. See, he beholds. See, when you go in, you don't go in with your mind. You go in with your spirit. And when you go, when he takes you in there, he begins to show you who you are. He shows you the birth of Christ's face. This word's the mirror. It's what's reflecting Christ into your spirit. So I'm going in there and beholding my birth of Christ's face in the mirror. And he says, the natural man, see, so I'm beholding. All of a sudden revelation comes forth. Amen. Now watch what he says here. All right. You got that? You got it? Okay, so watch this. So he says, a hearer, he describes a hearer and a doer, all right? Specifically, what the Lord says. We have a hearer, we have a doer. Say hearer and a doer. Now, hearer is not just the hearer with the ear. The hearer is the one that hears the call to the word, amen? All right, now watch this. He the hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his birth of Christ's face in a mirror. For he beholds himself, he sees it, say he sees it. You know how many people have come and gone, they see it and they walk. They see it and they walk. He says he sees, he beholds himself, but then he goes his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. So you ready? So the hearer sees it. It's revealed to him, but he doesn't stay with it. He gets distracted. He moves on. But he loses what he was shown. Listen, when God shows you something, you have to stay with it. And the enemy is going to fight that perspective. He's going to fight that revelation. He's going to fight that compass. He's going to fight that light. He will come and fight the light that's given to you. And he wants to steal what was shown you. Because the first level, hear our doer, God's going to show it to you. The difference between a hearer and a doer, the hearer lets it go. He lets go of it. He lets go and he releases from it and he gets distracted and he's out running around doing everything except what he's supposed to. And he's looking at everything except what he's supposed to be looking at. That's why you can have a season in your life that you're so in there and all of a sudden the next season you're just walking around delirious. You don't know where you're going, what you're doing. You're confused because you've lost it. You let go. See, a hearer will see it. Both of them see it. Both of them look. See, they look. Say they look. The hearer looks. The doer looks. The hearer lets go. The doer stays with it. The hearer lets go. The doer stays. He said, be you doers. Keep the word. Hold it. Stay. Keep your focus. Keep your compass on it until what the light that was given to you manifest. So he beholds himself, but he goes his way. He sees it. He's in there. There's a lot of people that lock on to God. There's a lot of people. Now, he's talking about meat here. He's talking about the depths of Christ. He's talking about looking in to the birth of Christ in you. He's talking about looking in to the inheritance of Christ in you. He said he sees it, but he goes his way. The mirror did its job. It released the light, but he left it. He let go. It's easy to let go, my friends. He let go. For he beholds himself, but he goes his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. The enemy wants you to forget what you've seen. He wants you to forget. He'll dangle a carrot in front of you if he can get you to forget who you are. He'll put a carrot of promise in front of you that'll produce very little if you'll forget who you really are. Because the only way you're going to know who you are is to stay abiding. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you can ask what you will. And all that you are shown and seen will come to pass. If you stay with me. Because the only way these words will stay. They have to stay and you have to stay with them. Because if you let them go, you're letting who you are go. Truly in the kingdom, the only way to manifest the kingdom is to abide. And his words to abide. Because they'll keep you in the light. They'll keep your perspective. They'll keep your compass. They'll keep your light. They'll keep your eyes fixed on who you are and your whole body. If your eye be single, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye be distracted, you'll lose the light. I'm not talking about your salvation. You'll lose the light. You can walk around saved, sit in a church all your life saved, but you'll lose the perspective of who you were. Of who you were on the mountain. How easy it is to be on the mountain and forget about it. How easy it is. You got to stay. Look at your neighbor and say, stay. That's not easy to do. That's why he said the next verse. For he beholdeth himself, goeth his way. Everyone look at your neighbor and say, don't do that. And straightway forgets what manner of man he was. He forgets because he doesn't see it like he saw it. If you lose your position in God, you'll lose the light. If you lose that light, you'll be ministering in a far less position than you were called to minister in. You'll be walking in a far less position than you were called to walk in. You can only walk in the high places by staying in the light. Amen. Keeping your eyes fixed, focused. Now, we're here to help. And, hey, we're not perfect either. We're just here to help. Amen. Stretch out your hands to me and say, Father, grace, grace and more grace. Grant our leaders grace to continue. Amen. I preach to myself too, praise God. Amen. Say grace, grace, more grace. Glory to God. Now, verse 25, powerful verse here. Very powerful. These are easier said than done. That's why he's saying, that's why he used the word actually doer, because doing in this respect does require a doing. You have to get connected to these words, and that's not easy to do. Amen? A lot of people just want to come to church. We're here as a training center. Somebody asked me, well, what kind of church you are? I said, well, really a training center. Amen. Because that's what we are. Amen. And sometimes we're gonna put it out there for you because God's challenging us. We're challenging you. Amen. Hallelujah. I love this verse. He culminates a lot here in verse 25. He said, but whoso looketh, say whoso looketh. See, being a doer of the word requires your capacity to look. And you're not looking with these eyes. You're looking with the eye of faith that's been honed in by revelation that the Holy Spirit's revealed. And now you look at it. Now you watch. That's how you keep the word. When I'm looking at the word in my heart, I'm not here in my head. I'm in my heart and I'm becoming aware of this word. I'm looking at the inheritance. You got to look at it. Amen. How do I look at something that's invisible? That's a good question. Because everything God gives you, before it manifests in the realm of visible, it's in the realm of invisible. It's the word of revelation that the Holy Spirit inspires that causes that invisible to become visible inside you. He makes it visible. That's why you got to read these words with the Holy Spirit. And because when he releases the word, he paints it on the canvas of your spirit. And you see, I see seven inheritances. I just don't have knowledge of seven inheritances. I see a doorway. I see the throne of grace. I see a garden. I see the room of the Father's love. I see the golden lampstand. I see the white horse. I see the crown. I see the seven inheritances. I see the two rivers. I see the two olive trees. I see. Because that word is in me. And I lock in. I don't let it go. Even though the enemy's constantly trying to get me to let it go. I said, I will not. I may have some gifts here, but there's one thing I want to learn to do is keep the word above all things. That is my highest desire and goal. Used to ministry was, ministry is not my highest goal anymore. Keeping his word is my highest goal. Amen. That is my lifeblood to keep what he gave and learn to focus. You have to look. Look at your neighbor and say, you have to look. You got to continue looking. Continue looking. Continue looking. It says, whoso looketh. Say, looketh. You're going to have to learn to looketh. Whoso looketh. Say, that's me. Into what? The perfect law of liberty. The perfect law of liberty is what's sitting in your lap right now. That Bible. That's the perfect law of liberty. It liberates you. From darkness into sonship, into joint heirship, into full-blown 100-fold inheritance, it liberates you. It's a law of liberty. It's not design. It's not the other law of bondage. The Holy Spirit's not administrating a law of bondage. He is administrating a law of liberty. Everything he shows you will bring light, liberty, freedom, and breakthrough. Amen? Ooh, hallelujah. It's a law of liberty! Praise God. I look. But so who looketh and continues looking. Boom. Boom. Say, continue looking. You got to continue to look. Yeah, we're going to teach you how to look. And we're going to teach you how to continue to look. And that's not easy to do. That's why he said, this man will be blessed in his work. In his deed. It continues, he being not a forgetful hearer that gets distracted and goes his way. That's very easy to do. But a doer of the work. He stays a doer of what work? Looking. Looking. He has to continue to look. To behold. Behold, see, behold. Behold him in a mirror. I had a whole series called Behold in the Mirror. Behold him in the mirror. Changed. What does he say in 2 Corinthians? He says, if you behold him as in a mirror, you're changed what? From glory to glory. As I continue to look, I have to continue to keep his word. I continue to look through the eye of awareness. I continue to see it, say it, hold it, keep it. I don't let it go. Amen? And then you'll be blessed. In the work, it's going to release. Look at your neighbor and say, it's going to release. Whew, isn't that good? Oh, let's give God glory. Hallelujah. I think it's 2 Corinthians 3. Wow, I haven't been here in a while. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll close. Or we'll be close. Praise the Lord. Isn't that good? See, you look at your birth of Christ's face in a mirror, and you keep looking until you become full age. Because in the beginning, you'll look at your birth of Christ's face. Then you'll look at the face of sonship. Then you'll look at the face of joint heirship. Then you'll look at the face of 100-fold glory. You'll keep looking because the Word keeps giving consecutive levels of who you are. It's a consecutive depth of who you are. But you got to keep looking. Because what happens, people start looking in an area and then they spend their whole life in that area and they stop looking at anything deeper. They're locked into an area. Good for them, praise God, but there was something else. Amen? I want to keep looking. Keep looking. I looked in to the birth of Christ's face. I looked into the sonship face. I came into the Father. Now we're looking into the face of a joint heir in Christ. We're looking into the face of 100-fold glory. We're looking into the face of a crown. We're looking into the face of a running of a white horse. See, all of this is part of our inheritance. Amen? All happens. Listen to me. You understand a true mystery of the kingdom. Everyone look at me. You have to see it here before you'll ever see it here. The benefit of the teaching online, you have to see it within. God will never do anything without showing it first within. He doesn't do anything without first showing it within. Amen? You're going to see it before it ever manifests. You're going to see it before you see it. You're going to see it with the eye of faith, and then you'll see it with the eye of the natural. Blessed are your eyes that see. He wasn't talking about the natural eyes. He was saying, blessed is your eye of faith that sees the kingdom when nobody else out here sees it. Blessed are your ears that are hearing the kingdom when these others cannot hear it. Unto you it's been given to know the mystery of the kingdom. Amen. Blessed is this little church or the taco stand that's been given the mysteries of the kingdom. Don't ever underestimate anything just because of what you see. Jesus was born in a manger, changed the whole world. Don't underestimate what you see coming through these doors. There's mysteries here. Blessed is this house that's been given the capacity to see mysteries. To see, to hear what others are not seeing and others are not hearing. You'll be accountable. We're all accountable. Oh, Lord. The enemy knows it. He knows what you know. He doesn't like the fact that you know it. Amen? Where did I tell you to go? Yeah, 2 Corinthians 3. Yeah, praise God. I was just seeing if you're listening. Sometimes it'd be good if you just put your hand on your heart and say, blessed are my eyes that see. Stop reading the Bible with your head. He's not talking about your head, those eyes in your head. Blessed is the eye of faith. Blessed my eye that I can see the unseen. I see the lampstand. I see the throne of grace. I see the garden. Oh, man, you should have heard the intercessors describe what that, I mean, Victoria, she came up here on Tuesday and she saw the garden and the tree of life, and she was seeing other people there. I mean, we see the realm of the invisible. Amen. God has opened our eyes. Amen. Okay. Now the Lord, verse 17, is that Spirit, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Amen. Now verse 18, but we all, say we all, with open face. Open face, this means you're not veiled. Or in this chapter, he's talking about those who are veiled by the law. We're not looking in the law. We're looking in the law of liberty. We're unveiled. We have an open face. We're looking into the same law of liberty Jane was talking about. We're looking into the law of inheritance, law of liberty, law of freedom, law of sonship, law of joint heirship, all of that. Amen? Well, we all, say we all, with open face, beholding as, saying there's your mirror, beholding as in a mirror, say a mirror, the glory of the Lord. See, you're beholding the glory. Say the glory. Are changed. Say we're changed into the same image First you see the joint heir, then you're changed into a joint heir. You grow up by beholding. You don't grow up by doing, unless you're doing the word. You don't grow up by keeping commandments. You grow up by keeping his word. There's a difference. Carlos will explain all that to you at his Bible study today. If you don't understand what I'm saying, go to Carlos's Bible study and he'll explain all this to you. Amen. That's what he does. He explains it. He gets it. I mean, Carlos has got it. Praise God. He's got it. He's got it. He's got it. Pastor Carlos, he's got it. He's got it. He probably doesn't like this attention. Hallelujah. We're changed. Hey, we're changed. You know, that word is transform, metamorphosis. We're metamorphosis. We're transformers. We transform. So we're transformed into the what? Same image. From glory to glory. You're transformed into what you see. God shows you who you are, what you are, and then as you keep looking at it and keep holding it and keep beholding it as in a mirror and keep his word, acknowledging awareness, focus, attentiveness, words, and you stay with it, you don't get distracted, you don't leave it, you're changed into what you're looking at. And what you're looking at in the eye of faith, ooh, the Lord just said to me, what you look at in the eye of faith, the world will see on you. And with you. What you're looking at with the eye of faith in the realm of invisible, God will cause the world to see it on your life. He says, you are our epistle, what? Written where? Oh, look at that. In our hearts. Known and read of all men. What I just said, what you see, the world will see. He said, you are epistle. Written in our hearts. Known and seen by all men. Boom. Isn't that good? It was a glory. It's not just about church. It's about the words. Covet those words. Keep those words. Make them high, high priority. Because the enemy wants to lower them down the rung of your ladder. If they're not the highest priority, you'll lose the perspective. I'm not talking about your salvation. You'll lose what you see. He's fighting what you see, because he knows if you keep looking at it, God's going to do it. He knows that. That's why he told Abraham, look at the stars, Abraham. Look at the sand. Don't take your eye. During the day, that's your descendants. At night, those stars, that's your descendants. Keep your eyes on the promise. Don't let go of it. Get it until it gets in here. Amen. And don't let it go. Look at your neighbor and say, don't let it go. Father, I'm preaching all of us today. We're not going to let it go. We make a fresh commitment. No matter what we see in the natural, what we see within is far greater than what we see in the natural. And I see a crown. I see a crown, Father. I know we're moving into the season of the crown. Whew. Thank you for the riches that you've set within us. It may not be seen upon us yet, but it's definitely seen in us. We see it, Father. We corporately see it. Amen. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah. I mean, let's give God glory again. Hallelujah.
I just had a short testimony I wanted to share that kind of would be a visual of holding the word. And it was about these 350 Japanese people. And they had the most polluted lake. It was the largest lake in Japan. It smelled putrid. The water, it had a foul smell. It had some type of algae problem issue on it. And anyways, they gathered for a day, and they spoke to the water, and they just decreed that the water was clean, it was blessed, it was pure. And within a month later, they had retested the water, and the lake that was polluted actually turned clean. And so they exercised their faith. They set a target for their faith, like Cody and like Pastor LaRue, until the atmosphere, until it actually changed. It actually visibly changed.
Amen. Praise God. Cheryl, come up here for a minute. Go ahead, Carlos, come up, share. Hallelujah. And Cheryl's going to share for a second.
I just had a quick testimony. The gentleman that we prayed a couple of weeks ago, he ended up passing away, but he knew the Lord, so absent from the body, present with the Lord. But Friday was his funeral, and his brother, his younger brother, got saved right around the same time I did. I haven't seen them like in 20-something years. And it's awesome to see that the word took root in his heart, because now he's pastoring. Like, he's speaking at his church where he's at. And it was awesome just to, you know, share with him. And to be in alignment with what Pastor was speaking today, with seeing the word, seeing who we are in Christ, one of the things that he shared with me before, after it was all over, after the reception, he told me, he said, "Man, the only thing I wish is that the flock would grow up." Because he's seen that there's no growth. And I was like, if you want your flock to grow quick, I said, teach them identity. If you teach them who they are in Christ, that's how you're going to grow them up. And then I started talking about John 14, 15, 16, and he asked for the link. But Amen. That's how we're going to grow, is we need to know who we are in him.
Praise God.